today isn't about just that the show must go on. No, it's also about, I don't know if you can see it, but you can see that the enemy is trying to attack First Light. It's trying to charge at us. But you can see how we are also being united together. Yeah? That even despite circumstances, we can still congregate together. We can still have this time together. We can still pray with one another. We can still have communion with one another. This is God's hand over our lives. This is God's hand over His church. This is God's sovereignty, His will having His way in this place. Yeah? Have we not been praying for that for the last few weeks? Have your way. Who's heard that phrase? Have your way. Can you guys over here say that for me? Have your way. That's right. I'm seeing a lot of new faces that I haven't seen in the past few weeks, but we've been saying, have your way, God. We've been inviting God to say, have your way in this house. If you can declare that, say it out. Have your way. Have your way in this house. Who do we want to have His way in the house? We want God, our Heavenly Father, to have His way in this house because it's His house, eh? Thank you, Terry. Amen. Indeed. And so today's sermon is this, why pray? Because we've been talking about praying together, being united together. We've touched on what is prayer or what it is and what it looks like. We know we should do it, but today I want to go into a bit about what is prayer? What is prayer? And why do we pray? Why do we pray? So to know why do we pray, we've got to know what is prayer, okay? So my first question today is, what is prayer? What is it? Okay, so look at the person next to you and ask the person, what is prayer? And just imagine that person's a 10-year-old, okay? And come up with a 10-year-old answer, an answer that a 10-year-old can reply with. What is prayer? I'm going to give you 10 more seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And even though there are a lot of eyes that are moving away from me as I walk up to them, hoping that I'm not going to ask them, I'm actually going to ask you, have you got some answers for me? What is prayer? Tell me.
Talking to God.
What do you reckon? Yeah, do you reckon it's a good answer? Put up your hand if you think it's a good answer. That's what they think of your answer, Imani. All right, Caleb, what is prayer?
Communicating with God.
Communicating with God. Someone's in the workforce. I love it. I love it. Let's go. Someone a bit more holy. Anton, what is prayer?
Bringing requests to God, ascending and descending in the heavenlies.
Bringing requests to God, ascending and descending in the heavenlies. What do we think, people? There's not many hands up on that side, Anton. Grace, help me out here. What is prayer?
My answer's been taken.
Okay, all right. Was it Anton's answer?
Talking with God.
Talking with God. Talking with God. Did anyone else have anything different to those answers? No? No? Excellent, because I had the same answers, except for the last one. Caleb, my answer was exactly that, communicating with God. I asked my 10-year-old today, what is prayer? What is prayer? And they looked at me and they said, talking to God. The other one said, telling Him anything you want. All right? I can sort of gauge what he's been praying about. But let's look at a bit about how Jesus prayed, okay? So these are the prayers of Jesus from the cross. And as I was preparing for this, I was reflecting and I was thinking, how was Jesus' prayer life going
when he was doing the biggest act of his life, which was to go and submit himself to authorities and get trialed and persecuted and deemed as guilty, even though he wasn't guilty, and he goes all the way to the cross and dies for us, what was his prayer life like? And I just want to draw a picture of that to you by summarizing a few of those things that he said as prayers. And this first one, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." You might recall the Lord's Prayer, how he taught us how to pray. How does the beginning of that prayer begin? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." What's the next bit? Your kingdom come, not my kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done, not my will. So you can see Jesus living this out, yet not as I will, but as you will. And this is a guy who's going all the way to the cross. He knows he's going to be crucified. He knows he's going to be humiliated. He knows he's going to be in great pain. He knows he's going to carry the weight of all of our sins on the cross. And he says, "Yet not as I will, but as you will," calling out to his Father, just as he taught us. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then the next one, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Amazingly, Pastor Rena, before when we were praying together with all the people who were serving for God in this house, forgiveness came up and she thought it was so important because God told her that we needed to forgive. We needed to forgive before we could stand on this platform, before we could stand in the back and push the buttons that make the lights go on and off. Before we could do anything, we needed to forgive. But Jesus said this to us when he taught us how to pray, because in that Lord's Prayer, he said, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." And here we have Jesus hanging on the cross, praying to his Father, saying, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And another one that he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Does this sound like a familiar prayer? My God, why have you forsaken me? Isn't that one of the big questions that we will ask God when we talk to him, when we communicate to him, when we take our pleas to him in the heavenlies? Why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to someone else? And another one, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This is when he's going to his death. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he says at the end, "It is finished." An exhausted finished from hanging up there. Did he not say to us in the Lord's Prayer, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one"? When we're faced with the evil one, how easy is it for us to want to get out of here? How easy is it for us to want to check out? Yet Jesus says, "Why have you forsaken me?" Yet he's still hanging on the cross. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We keep on going. And in the Lord's Prayer, when he says, sorry, not in the Lord's Prayer, but up here, when it says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, it is finished." Jesus shows us that despite
the barriers in front of him, despite the suffering that he's incurring, despite the wrongness of all of it, he still goes. He doesn't run, but he goes, and he goes with his Father. This is Jesus praying. This is his prayer life all the way to the cross. And in the next slide, I mean, that all of that is flowing on from what we have experienced over the Easter period, his death and his resurrection, right? But there's a bit that continues, and that is when he is resurrected, he's actually on earth. And when he's on earth, he promises things to people, the disciples. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power on high. What he's promising is that after he ascends to heaven, the Spirit will come. And then he says this, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. What a man! What a man! Not only does he not give up going to the cross, not only does he not run away, but goes willingly all the way to his death. Once he's resurrected, he knows that he has to go back up to heaven, but he doesn't leave us to be on our own. He leaves us with who? His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's left us with the Holy Spirit. And as he leaves, how does he leave? It's not adios. It's not, okay, my time is done. It is blessing. It is blessing. So everything that Jesus did for us will always be, even though he's gone back up to heaven. Isn't that amazing? That saving work he did on the cross stays with us every day. It doesn't stop anymore. It's not like that cross is done, we've moved on. No, that work on the cross is going to work in us every day because he's left us blessing us. So with Jesus doing all of that, I come back to what is prayer? Okay, in the next slide. What is prayer? And ding, 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 my short answer for my 10-year-old is communicating with God. And I loved what Anton said before. We take our pleas to him, right? Because that same man who did all of that, not Anton, Jesus, that same man who did all of that, that is who we are communicating with. That is who is allowing us to communicate with his Father. So, for a guy who's done all of that for you, we can then talk to him about anything we want. So what are the things that we can talk to God about? This is what I want you to turn to your neighbor and ask them, what can we talk to God about? I'm going to give you 15 seconds to do that. What can we talk to God about? And don't just say anything. I want the details. I want the good stuff. I want to hear your pleas. I want to hear your complaints, your vows, commitments, testimonies, your thanks, sharing, your confession, your dedicated time. We've been talking about pausing and coming face to face with God. But what do you guys talk about? All right, we're still going to keep this PG, okay? So, Josh, what do we talk to God about?
Your struggles.
Your struggles. Your struggles. Who else talks to God about their struggles?
Oh, he's getting a. Oh, this side's getting a lot of hands up on that side. Yeah. EJ, I know I'm putting you on the spot. I know, but it's me. What do we talk to God about?
Like work.
We talk to God about work because we can talk to God about anything. Yeah. What kinds of things about work do we talk to God about?
I guess struggles as well.
Struggles. Thanks, EJ. I put him on the spot. Let's be honest, Sangers, you're a working man, okay? And there are things that I know you talk to God about work. What do you talk to God about work?
I was going to say when people put me on the spot. But I share about just the conflicts, but I also praise the people in my team and just the joyness in speaking into people's lives, so yeah.
Amen. What do you think? Yeah, the conflicts in the team, the praise points for them and then the joys in their life, what do we think? Do you guys do that as well? Yeah, or now they're all nodding away. What do we talk to God about? Come on, JQ, you go.
I'll talk to about prayers, like requests.
Oh, JQ, if you say requests, I can tell you about requests that I have. I have about 100 of them that never get answered. So that's why the next day I've got 200 of them that go to him. Yes. But communicating with God is also a two-way street, right? Yeah? We listen. Thank you, Terry. That's right. Prayer is also listening. Now, I must say, we say listening to God, but it's not, I don't want to say God as if like God is so foreign to us, right? What's the word that Jesus put at the start of the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that makes him very, very close to us? What's that word? Su Chin.
Father.
Father. Our Father. Our God isn't just a distant guy. He isn't a foreigner. He's not a diplomat. He's not a guy who sits at the tallest floor of the building. No, he's come down. He's a father. He's a loving, caring father. That is who we're praying to. All right. So you guys get what prayer is, right? But now my next question for the 10-year-old is this. Who can pray? Who can pray?
Anyone and everyone?
Anyone and everyone. Sounds like a song. Anyone and everyone. Josh, do you agree?
Yes.
He agrees. That's right. Thank you, Anna, for our children's coordinator to give me that answer for the 10-year-old. All of us can pray, right? Because we have to remember in the Lord's Prayer, it's give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. It's all of us. We pray. We all can pray. The Father in heaven isn't just a father to some. He's a father to all. So all of us can pray. You don't need you don't need a prerequisite. You don't need a badge. You don't need a title to pray. You can actually start praying on your own. You're allowed to do that. So who can pray? All of us can pray. And then the next one, where can you pray? Where can we pray? Go, Jason.
Anywhere?
I did ask for the details.
Anywhere.
He said, anywhere. And then I heard toilet. Did I hear that right? My hearing's a bit off, remember? We can pray anywhere. Do you know why? Because in the Bible, it talks about how we can pray privately. And in the Lord's Prayer, it's actually saying to us, go into a room and close the door. Pray this prayer to God. Seek out the Father privately on your own. You can do that. But before, when I had those prayers of Jesus,
when he was on the cross, where was he when he was praying those things? Was he in a private room? Was he all alone? Oh, he was alone because no one else could do that with him. But he had onlookers. He had plenty of onlookers. He was out in public and he was intentionally put out there so that people could see him on a cross. So where can we pray? Yes, we can pray anywhere as deep as one of the rooms in your house, to the toilet. I know a lot of us love praying in the bathrooms. I know a lot of us love praying at the gym. I know there's a local gym here that a lot of First Lighters are going to pray there because I've been invited a few times, but yet to check it out. But we can pray publicly. We can pray when we come together as a church, right? Okay, the next one. When can we pray? When can we pray? Anders, shout it out for me. When can we pray? Only at church, he said. No, he didn't. Anders, if you're listening online, he did not say that. He said anytime. That is the correct answer. We can pray any time, right? You know when Jesus was on the cross, when he died, when he was resurrected, right? That all happened over 3 days. That didn't just happen during the daytime. That didn't just happen at the nighttime. There is no closure hours for our Father in heaven. He is accessible to us at all hours of the day, even at the hours when everyone's asleep. Which brings me to my question. Why do we pray then? Why do we pray? Why do we pray? And my answer is this. It shows our faith in Him. Because when we pray, we're making our requests to a certain person that isn't seen here. He's not like in the flesh anymore. He's invisible. But we are trusting in that person. For everything that we know about our Heavenly Father, for everything that the Spirit is teaching us about that Father. When we pray to Him and ask these requests from Him, He loves that. He loves that because He desires us to come to Him for our provision, to come to Him for our daily needs. He would rather that than us being self-sufficient, being independent, being capable to be able to go on our own. So why do we pray? It shows Him that we've got faith in Him and not anyone else. Why do we pray? As Jesus showed us going to the cross, He didn't want it to be His will. He wanted it to be the Father's will. And so likewise, when we pray and we're listening to Him, when we're talking to Him and He's responding, or when He's not responding, we become more and more trusting in what He wants to do. So when we pray for things and they don't happen, let it be, because it was heard. Let it be, because it was heard. Trust Him with it, right? And why do we pray? It's because we're believing that He is sovereign. Do you remember in Easter, the theme of Easter that we had it here? What was the theme at Easter? Just shout it out for us. He reigns. He reigns. That wasn't just something that someone thought up because we had to do Easter. That is a biblical truth that He reigns. And He reigns by being sovereign over every part of our life. So as we pray, what we witness is actually that he starts building our faith in him up. We start feeling and seeing that we are now believing in him more. And that's the thing that he really wants us to do. And so I'm going to go into how do we pray. I want to tell you a couple of stories here. And it's an example of how God grew me to pray. All right? How many of you have heard of Facebook Marketplace? Yeah? Yeah, there's some hands that went up very quickly over here. There's some hands over here that are very shy and reluctant to go up. I'm a fan of Facebook Marketplace because I like to get rid of stuff. And I like to make some money out of it as well, okay? And there's one time where I needed to sell some baby gear because my kids have outgrown the baby gear and it's time to make room for something else, okay? And it just so happens that the person that I was selling the baby gear to started sharing a story to me. And the story was this. The story was that I asked her curiously, why are you buying this stuff? And she said, it's not for me, it's for my son. I said, well, is he having a baby? He said, no, he's not having a baby. What's happened is he's got a friend who's actually left an abusive relationship and she's actually fallen pregnant and so there's a baby coming. And so her son has decided to take her in and actually try and help her in whatever way he can, right? But the thing about her son that I just pushed, because I knew God was wanting me to go somewhere with this, was like, what is it about this son that's interesting? And this woman starts sharing with me about how the son is actually not from Perth. He's actually from Victoria. And when this son was a teenager, so I'm imagining EJ's age, a bunch of his mates went to a house and they went drinking at a house without the parents knowing. And this son actually passed out from drinking. But when he woke up, there was actually a fire in the house. And he got so freaked out that he had to run away from the place. And he thought, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to get out of here because if I get caught, they'll find out that I was drinking and I'll get in trouble. So he did. He ran. Sadly, what happened was that he wasn't alone as someone who got passed out in the house. It was actually one of his friends that was left in the house. The friend didn't make it out. The friend died. This boy, this son, was charged, was blamed for being responsible for all of that. And as a consequence, his identity around the neighborhood became known, and it just became too much for him to actually live around that area. So he actually left. He left the area and he relocated to Perth to start again. That boy's never been the same. That boy's never been the same. And now he's an adult. And so I had this opportunity to stand with this woman. And it must be about 40 minutes later after I've started selling this gear that Melina comes out to check out what's going on. And then I tell her what I've just heard. And my loving wife, because God gives us helpers, gives me the nod. Do you know what this nod means? Jeremy, get to work. All right. Jeremy, go. Because I need that. I need that prompting. Go. Go. And so I asked her, I said, I'm a man of faith. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Can I pray for you? And can I pray for your son especially? And she cried. And she said, of course you can. this woman's not a believer, but she needs someone to believe in for her son. And so I got to pray for her son. I got to pray for the girl that's about to have her baby. And what I saw from that was that God was showing me that there's people out there, not for me, this is for me. There's people not just in First Light. I mean, I love you guys, I pray for you. But he's reminding me that there are also people outside. I needed that wake-up call. So see how I benefit from my prayers, my prayer life? He helps me. He grows me. It's not always about just helping the other person. I've got another story for you. It's another item that I needed to sell. This time it was a mobile phone. Okay? You can probably see my items on Facebook. No, don't go looking it up. I needed to sell a mobile phone and I sold it to someone. And curiously, you know how there's a lot of scammers out there? A lot of names I don't recognize, so I go and look them up, see if they're legit, and I make a decision on whether they are or not. In this person's profile, I could see that they've made other items. They've sold other items. And one of those items that they had on there was a Bible, Bibles, I should say. Not English Bibles, Farsi Bibles. Farsi Bibles. So when I sold this item to this person, they came to my house and I met them on the driveway and a husband and wife appeared. And so I curiously asked them, what's the deal with these Bibles that you've got online? And they looked at me and they said, we are Christian. Now, I didn't tell you what these people look like. They were Persian. They're from Iran. You say you're a Christian in Iran, you'll get persecuted, you'll get hunted, you'll be shamed. These guys were Christian, and Farsi is the native language or the local language in Iran, right? I've come to learn this because I was interested after I met these people. They testified something to me. I said to them, I'm a pastor at church, and my church is in Gwelup. And I find this interesting that here you are, you're selling these Bibles for free. And they said to me, the husband started believing in Jesus in Iran as an adult. A man of the house, as an adult, got saved in Iran. He is now a pastor, is what this lady said to me. They've now migrated to Perth, and their mission from God is to actually help others who are like them understand and know the Word of God, which is why they have them written in the local language to help them understand the Word of God rather than them just having the English Bibles and forcing them to understand English. It's too much of a job. So then a kid pops out of nowhere, because this people actually brought their family, and he tells me his name and says, I got baptized last week. And so I said, I think we need to pray. Can we pray? And so here we are, the three of us, me with a Persian family, on our driveway in Yokon, praying to God. What do you think my prayer's about in that moment? It's not please, it's not requests, it's thanksgiving. There was so much joy to know that God is doing incredible work in the darkest places on earth, in nations that are so hard to change. There is fruit that I'm witnessing in the spirit. Pretty cool, right? Prayer life. The reason why I bring all this up is because I feel like we're in a place, if we're talking about prayer and unity in First Light again, we need to find that courage to release it. Release our prayers on to others. Yeah? We communicate with God and He hears it. He loves it. He loves hearing our prayers in that private place. But can you see Him moving us to go out of these doors, onto the driveways, in your workplace, not just at home, but in your workplace, even if it's not allowed, find a way to be in the workplace. Can you see it? He's moving us to participate in this way. Why? It's not just because we're doing it for Him. It's not just because we're doing it for other people. He actually wants to grow us. He actually wants you to receive something by doing that. He wants to grow you. He grew me. He still wants to grow me. He's still moving me, but He's got to reposition us. Reposition us to see things how He does. To get to the point where we are showing our faith to Him. We're trusting in Him. And we are believing that He is indeed a sovereign God. Yeah? Is that pretty good?